Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's In the Know, brought to you by the Racing Post for a classic weekend over at Epsom, with eight races on Friday and eight races on Saturday. But the two races, of course, we will be talking about the most and looking forward to the most, the Oaks and the Derby. Now, we have Ballydore representatives at the top of the betting, as you would expect. But unlike last year, they haven't gone and won every single trial going. So are they the favourites vulnerable? Are they vulnerable from horses in their own stable? Could it be a Judmont doubleheader? It could possibly work out that way. There are also seven other races, including a brand new seven furlong race with the John O'Gaunt Stakes, moved from Haydock over to Epsom for those poor seven furlong horses who barely get a chance to strut their stuff throughout the season. My name is Ross Brierley. We're live and interactive as ever, so get involved on the chat and like and subscribe if you haven't done so already. Let us know what you think in the chat. Are you an Epsom fan? Are you going to be cursing the TV screen as your horses either miss the kick and get stuck in behind a wall of them, come rattling down the centre only to find the one on the rail battles back in the dying strides, or getting frustrated as they come all the way across to the near side in soft ground and then completely change on Saturday? Who knows? There's a lot of stuff to go on, but hopefully we can get some exciting winners. And wouldn't it be nice, wouldn't it be lovely to see a horse absolutely muller them in the Derby? I'd like to see it. Anyway, Frank Fortune, Rob Janko, Patrick Balchin, Romping Home, Destiny Sounds, and many, many more. Hello to you. Who am I joined by tonight? Mr. Robbie Wilders is right next
good
to me.
Good to be back.
Ready and raring
to go.
Not
seen you since Grand National. It was ages ago, didn't it?
I mean, it was ages ago. Mm. Well, a lot's changed since
flat
then.
Flat is better, as we know.
Flat is better. Epsom is tough.
It's tough, yeah. And I was thinking as well, this is probably the first decent meeting we've had in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
The last two Saturdays have been a bit underwhelming, would you say?
Last Saturday was a strange one, wasn't it? Mm. While it was nice to see Carlisle get their moment in the sun, and it was a moment in the sun.
Let's not have that moment too often.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You've had your moment now, move on.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Albeit, yeah, I don't know. But you need that a little bit, because it's nice to...
A bit of variety.
Well, I think the initial gets in your job, you can't be like, oh, I'm just going to just not look at the race this weekend.
You're not really allowed to do that. I often try to, but you can't really get away with it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Robbie, you need to write a piece on three Carlisle races. Yeah. I'm not going to, actually.
You just can't really say no because you're employed to do that.
Yeah, yeah, fair.
Sadly.
Epsom, very different, though. They bigger fields than normal, it feels like.
Yeah, it's decent fields for sure. Just looking for horses with form on. Downhill, tight sort of tracks, you know, Goodwoods, Lingfields, Chesters, Brightons.
Yeah.
That's the essence of a lot.
You're looking for horses with form on tracks?
No. No, not having it.
Wait, hang on.
It doesn't hurt.
Hang on. Ebenezer Siegel has joined the room.
No, it's the absolute opposite. I love Epsom. It's nothing like those other ones. And the reason why, it's got blinking long straight. It's over a half a mile long straight. It's not like Chester with half a furlong or Brighton with half a furlong or Lingfield. It's got a massive long straight. The best horse wins at Epsom. It's not a problem. People make a fuss about Epsom because it's up and down. I love it.
Well, why does Edna O'Brien love Chester so much then?
Because hate Brighton. Yeah.
Well, why does Aidan O'Brien love Chester so much then?
Well, I think Chester teaches that it's a very different... I agree, the results are slightly different to Chester, but the lessons you learn at Chester are very similar to what you need at Epsom. In terms of when to strike as well, because like you said, it is a big long straight, Tom, but for the love of God, if I'm on a horse, I want them kicking. I don't want them dawdling on the bridle with five horses in front of them.
I'm not bothered. I like Epsom. I think the longer the straight, the easier it is to find winners. I honestly do. So, give me a Chester and give me all those ones where it's all about position coming around the bend. That's not for me. I can never find the winner of those races. But one where you've got a big long straight and the best horse can get himself out of trouble, I don't mind. I like it. I've always liked Epsom. Doncaster is the same. People say, oh, Doncaster, Epsom. They've got big, massive long straights. It's a real big help. They spread out often. They will tomorrow who knows where they'll go tomorrow, but there'll be loads of room for everyone.
I'd like to be very clear that nobody on this show has said they don't like Epsom.
I've never seen Tom so positive.
I just want to be. I just want to be absolutely sure that.
I just get so used to being called Mr. Negative. I wanted to point out that Epsom is great. We love Epsom.
It's nice to see, man.
It was more that you came in just going, no. I thought he was he's chastising us again, Robbie. He's chastising us again.
No, not at all.
As for the big races this weekend, how would you rate the lineups for the Oaks and the Derby from 1 to 10 in terms of pre-race anticipation / quality?
The tricky one. It's always the same, Ross. Oaks, about a 2, probably. I mean, the highest rated horse is 106, is it? 107? Mm-hmm. It's not a great Oaks, is it? I mean, we're not talking about, we've got Guineas horses in there. But who knows what we're going to get?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing about the Derby and Oaks, and all the horses are doing something different. So there's every chance that there's a very good horse running in the Oaks tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which one it is conjecture at this stage, because none of them have been set a proper task, have they?
The Derby's. And what I like, I mean, I love three-year races in particular, and partly, but especially at this time of year, like you said, they're at that perfect peak of really starting to find their feet and find their ability. And that's why the Derby is so exciting, potentially, because if everything comes together, then this is the perfect point in a horse's career for a wow. I wasn't expecting that moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's what has happened over the years, and many, you know, loads of times, isn't it? I mean, I'm not going to show my age again, but going back in the day, there was so many horses that sort of just took off that you weren't sort of expecting to. In strongly run derbies. The difference in this day and age is that nothing stays, Ross. Nothing's bred to stay. So very few horses actually stay the Derby trip. Even loads of winners don't properly stay the trip. I remember going back a bit, Willie Carson told me one day that Nashua never stayed a mile and a half. Never. He was out on his feet, but he was good enough to win. And that's often the case in the Derby. You can class is the key. But at this day and age when nothing really stays, it's just a weird race these days. You just have horses that you don't expect to be classy enough winning the Derby simply because there aren't that many good middle mile and a half horses bred.
Yeah,
that's why the Coolmore team dominate these races. I mean, you saw what happened in France on Sunday last year. If you go back, they had all the big middle mile and a half races for 3-year-olds.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but last year they won every Derby and Oaks trial pretty much last year, didn't they? Apart from one, if I remember rightly. So yeah, I think that's partly built into why people have kind of fallen. You know, maybe attendances are down a bit because of that to a certain extent. It's sort of like every trial gets won by that Ballydoyle horse, that Ballydoyle horse, that Ballydoyle horse.
Yeah, but we've got to point out it's not their fault. It's everyone else's.
No, it's not their fault.
It's everyone else's fault. It's what it is. It's the quick, get rich, quick mentality of the world these days, isn't it? Yeah. No one's got time to wait. No one's got time to wait for a mile and a half horse.
Yeah.
You've got to pay for it up until October where it might have one run. And then you've got to wait until the next year where it might have one run. And then it's got to be good enough to win the Derby. So you're spending a lot of money, you know. So that's why in the old days, there were loads of owner breeders that would do that sort of thing.
Yes.
Nowadays, people are buying breeze up horses to win the Windsor Castle. That's what they want. Do you know what I mean? They're not, because they can go to Ascot and they can in June, and then they can still have the feeling about what can happen later on. But Derby horses, no one wants them bar Ballydoyle. And that's why they're going to dominate for probably ever.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully we do get a good win. I found what was quite interesting is because you do get a bit of sort of hindsight bias, don't you? And I was reading, and obviously everything goes back to Galileo, pretty much 21st century. Mm. But I was reading the analysis for when Galileo won the Derby as well, and even then he sort of said, you know, one has to go back to Generous and Nashwan for a Derby winner who made a similar impression. So even that, I'm thinking, well, what? So we haven't had a good even in 2001. You haven't had a good winner in 10 years. And then he was sort of Galileo not being especially impressive in winning the same Leopardstown race that Sandor won. So even then, people are thinking, well, we were surprised by how good Galileo was. Mm. And then this quote I enjoyed as well. He shows so much speed at home that connections were talking privately before the race of dropping him back to 10 furlongs for the Eclipse. Even with Galileo, Ballydoyle were saying he's got the speed for the Eclipse. He could win a Derby, he could win an Eclipse, he could win a Mara.
Good markers, aren't they?
They are, but even Galileo, it wasn't, if the analysis didn't say, oh, we all expected this incredible performance from this horse who's going to change change racing.
Yeah,
history.
Yeah, because you know.
But, even then, so we don't, I guess the joy of the derby is you never know, and one can spring out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's why I think it's always hard to say, like, is this a good running or a bad running until afterwards?
Yeah.
Like, there are only nine in the Oaks, sure, but like, a lot of them are unexposed and top connection sort of thing. So I wouldn't be negative on either race. I love Epsom also.
Yeah, there you go. I'll tell you at the end of Saturday whether I love Epsom or not. We'll see how it goes. But, let's crack on then with the Oaks card on Friday. Like I said, the big race coming up slap bang in the middle of the card. But we kick off with the three-year-old Dash, in inverted commas, because I don't know, have they trademarked the Epsom Dash and they can, even Epsom can't use the Dash? I don't know. We've got a three-year-old Dash there. We don't tell lies. He's 5-1. She's got a brother, 11-2. Nana Shadow is 13-2. Riley Rocks is 8-1. Koi is 10-1. And it's 10-1 bar those.
It looks like there's a lot of typos there, but they're actually just poorly spelt names, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It kind of hurts my eyes a bit.
Well, look, and we're going to get to the point where we've run out of names for racehorses, aren't we? So
yeah, I just don't like the she's got brother without an apostrophe. I'm not into that.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the horses, actually.
Fair. Right, let's go to the Sprint King at home, shall we? Tom Siegel.
Hey.
Absolutely loves the Sprint handicap. You've got, again, less than 60 seconds to preview a race that'll take. Less than 60 seconds to run.
Less than 60 seconds. Yeah, let's try and do this in less than 60. Well, the obvious place to start is We Don't Tell Lies. It was a similar sort of race at Goodwood. It did everything right. Might have got a clearest run. There's a few in there that I think can get closer. Koi is one of them for Safi Osborne. I thought got too far behind that then. And that can go over. Well, I like Riley Rocks for Dylan Cunha and Ray Dawson. I'm into prices at the moment, Ross. It's my thing at the moment. Looking at what price horses start and where they fit. You know what I mean? And
RSPs.
That's a good indication.
Because you're price wise. You are price wise, pal. You're always price wise. You love SPs.
What price they start?
Yeah, I know. I'm with you.
Because I think that's a good indication of whether of a horse's ability these days. Because I think the market's so accurate. And Riley Rocks was joint favourite. Was well backed and started joint favourite. We Don't Tell Lies. He was down to 5 furlongs on turf for the first time, and he cantered through the race. He just got no luck. He finished Bakeley on the bridle in thick. He's £7 better off. He's 3 times the price. He might be better drawn. No idea about draws these days. Every time I try and play draws, I get it wrong. So I'm going back to the old tried and tested. I'm not even looking at it. He'll do for me. Riley Rocks around. Might be about 10-1 now with, I like Ray Dawson as well. Good jockey booking. So he'd be my one in the 5 furlong dash.
All right, Riley Rocks then. I was looking for an angle. Do you want the angle I came down on?
Yeah, can you?
Please. All right. Yorkshire.
Let's go. Make a case for me.
We've had 3 renewals of this, all won by Yorkshire trainers.
Please.
All 3 sprint handicaps last year at Epsom went to Yorkshire trainers. Only once in the past 10 years have Yorkshire trainers not won a sprint handicap.
You're so excited saying this.
Well, from Yorkshire, I've got to be.
Yeah, true.
If you'd just backed Yorkshire horses in Epsom sprint handicaps in this meeting in the past 10 years, you'd have won £87 backing and blind. They've had a horse placed in every single sprint handicap in that time.
Cool.
And Yorkshire sprinters have won twice as many races as everyone else combined, despite running 85 less horses.
That's serious.
We train fast. Fast horse. We train fast horses up north.
You don't really sound like you're from Yorkshire that much.
Well, that's because I've
lost your accent.
Well, it's because I've been broadcasting for 20 years.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you've got to dial it down a bit.
When I go back to Sheffield, it's, you know, I'm sure you do.
Did you put it on a bit?
Well, you just do it.
I'm just always a cockney,
switch.
Though, mate. I don't really change now.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Has it got anything to do with the fact that the posh boys down south don't want anything to do with boring old sprinters?
Well, yeah, absolutely, yeah. But maybe. But I'm just trying to find
one. I like the angle. Do you like Hanny Girl, then?
Hanny Girl and She's Got a Brother, I thought, were the most interesting, yeah.
Hanny Girl, I thought, was the most interesting.
Tell me what.
As well. Well, as Tom loves Chesterfield around Epsom, doesn't he? And this sprinter has a career high RPR at Chester, and she goes on soft ground. Got a hell of a lot of... Well, it's not probably not me as soft, is it? We probably need to talk about that. But got a lot of speed.
Yep.
I'm quite into... Tom's into his SPs. I'm into my finishing speed percentages. It's not for everyone, by any means. But she keeps running her races really inefficiently. Keeps finishing 96%, 96%, 94%. Just, very so much speed and just needs like a track like Epsom. I know they finished on a bit of a hill, but it's obviously the fastest five furlongs in the world, isn't it?
Well, and she went in the notebook last time at Haydock because every Haydock sprint winner was coming from the back at that meeting, and she had no chance, but she kept going really well.
She did not give up, and we like that. And just goes with a bit of juice on the foot. I think she'll just like the track. Don't know, stall three is the place to be, but you'll only really realise that after the race. So, 18-1 or something, that'll do for me.
All right. I thought She's Got a Brother was interesting. She, very similar skill sets to win a race at Southall. I mean, it's all early speed. You have to get out, you have to get on the speed, you have to lie up early because they just don't get to you. And if they get to you, they're a good horse who got to you. So the fact that she's done that twice and then did it at York, it was handicap debut. She didn't run as a 2-year-old. So it was a third start handicap debut. She finished fourth in that red hot York race behind Fortification, who then went and ran a blinder against the older horses. So I think she's got the perfect, again, like Handy Girl, but maybe Handy Girl might be a little bit too fast, if you know what I mean. Four and a half for the long
course. Not possible. Pick the fastest horse, mate. Yeah. But could I dare tempt you into a swinger on a Whirlpool day?
Oh, Robbie. You have to buy a drink first, mate.
He loves it. Hey.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, why not?
The Northern Swinger. That's what you are.
The Yorkshire Swinger. Absolutely, yeah.
We'll see.
Let's do it. All right, okay. I'm not going to ask Tom if he wants to get involved, but you'd have to leave the house for that.
It was a sprint I gave up listening about 5 minutes ago, Gordon.
Well, we did. That's
stroking
all right.
Your dog.
I would have definitely gone for 2 minutes if you priced it up. Okay, 3-year-old dash then on to the 2-year-old Woodcote Stakes.
Also a sprint technically, unfortunately for Tom.
It is technically, yeah, it is a sprint. Slightly different in regards that you can get a nice future 7 furlong horse, maybe. A staying sprint, yeah. Possessive is 7-2 favourite here. Hickory Lad 5s, Wild Terrain 6s. Albert Duez is 15-2. Dandy Man Dan is 8-1. You've also got Our Dad Steve, who's brilliantly named and was quite an eye-catcher at Yarmouth last time. The Bookkeeper is... 10-1. If you back him, you'll get your accounts closed. Well, something like that. I don't know. Last Thorpe is 16 as well, and then 18-1 and bigger the rest. But possessive for Carl Burke and Clifford Lee. Won at York last time out. Carl Burke's got 500 2-year-olds, and about 250 of them are borderline listed class. And yeah, it's no surprise to see this horse put in as favourite. Maybe a couple of quirks, but He made a good impression.
Yeah, I mean, York novices are normally pretty good, aren't they? Definitely deserves his place at the top of the market. Has he achieved a whole lot more than Wild Terrain, though? I don't know. I thought Wild Terrain was pretty good on his debut at Hamilton. Really strong finish. Sheen Murphy's up by territory, so a bit of slightly slower conditions. Don't think that's going to hurt at all. I just think if he was trained by Burke, he'd probably be... That's for a price as well.
I mean, Hugo Palmer's not... He's
no mug, is he?
Yeah. As well, so.
Yeah, exactly. Quite like that form. He looked like he won that with quite a lot in hand. So I think he's going to take a step forward next time. And just don't really love the ones with experience here. Like, I don't love the other Hickory Lad. Not for me. But I was gravitating towards the once race horses that could take a big leap forward. And out of prices, I'll stick with the Hugo Palmer one.
All right. Wild Terrain, then, who hacked up at Hamilton. It also called Sail Shark win there at Hamilton as well the other day. Hugo Palmer, he looks a nice type. So he's got some very good juveniles. And Usher Murphy obviously is booked. Again, another unusually big field in recent years for the Woodcote. And unusually in a sense of you can kind of make a case for a lot of horses at bigger prices as well, Tom.
Yeah, it's really, really bad quality race considered to what it used to, what it has been. No Pinatubu, no Wise Approach, no Havana Hurricane. You know, we've had some proper horses running it. I don't know that any of these are that good. I mean, they could be, but there's not that. Apart from the Possessive and the Wild Terrain, who they're not bred to be that good. They're not bred to be Pinatubu, that's for sure. They're all a bit of a muchness, aren't they? I think this will depend on who sort of gets the run of the race. Very tricky one. I think Possessive is probably the most obvious one, but I thought Hickory Lad might just be should be the horse with the form. Second in the Lily Agnes. Pretty sure he'll need this. He'll like this step up to six. Ran very well first time out. The winner went on to win the National Stakes and won a bit of a Mickey Mouse race. But I just thought he had the best form. Can't see any reason why the track could be any problem for him. So, yeah, I just stuck with him. I can't remember his name now. Hickory Lad.
All right, Hickory Lad, then for Philip Mako and Sam James in the Woodcote Stakes. Very quickly, let's have a look. Destiny Sounds did ask, we talked about the Yorkshire horse in the first, and he says, what were they? It's a fair point. She's got a brother, Alpha Duplicates, Harry Girl, Chairman four times, Temple of Athena, and Call Margo are all trained.
Okay, it's actually quite a lot of swingers then, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Maybe that's too many.
Combination trifactor instead of, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, right. And Destiny Sounds, Palmer and Ushin are a great combo. They are indeed excellent record together this year. Right, moving on then to the third race on the card, the Diamond Stakes, where Persica bids to become the first horse since Blind Knight for the Quins to win the Diamond Stakes 2 years on the bounce. I'm not sure he'd go and win a Swinton hurdle as well, like Blind Knight did. But he's 5-2, Seagulls 11-9-2, Boiling Point 5s, Ice Max 11-2, Kirat is 8-1, and then it is bigger prices than the rest, including the likes of Chancellor, Skakuzo, and Royal Playwright. In, to my eyes, Tom, it looks a better race than last year. It's basically last year's race. It's almost identical, sort of half of last year's horses, plus a few better horses being parachuted in. So, I thought Persica might be a little bit vulnerable, even though he's clearly been trained and aimed at this race.
Yeah, I thought Persica was going to be a really good horse last year, and he was on occasions, but he sort of went off the boil. I mean, his comeback run was perfectly reasonable, wasn't it? On last year's form, he's probably just about the one to beat. But it's, as you say, it's a little bit better race. You've got the Sussex Stakes winner. I know it was a bit of a fluke, but he's in there. You've got Boiling Point in there as well. You've got Chancellor in there. I agree with you. I think it's a little bit better race. I think he's, who knows whether stall one is good or bad. Don't know. Don't know where they'll go. But normally that would be a good draw on the mile track there. I think Ice Max has got a bit of a chance of turning the tables myself. Backed Ice Max last year, and he was way too keen, and pulled too hard. He went to the front, I don't know, 4 furlongs out, turning for home, just after turning for home, and just got run out of it. It was only beaten 3/4 of a length. Changed, that's nothing in the whole scheme of things, and I think he's like 3 times the price. So I'm an Ice Max fan, but there's going to be loads of pace on here, isn't there, on the 4, with Kiat in there, and Royal Playwright, and Seagulls 11, who others in there. So I think, I think it'll be a properly run, good, solid race. I like the fact that Ice Max has been up on trip. Sam James always rides him, so I wouldn't be too worried that, or did ride him last time. I wouldn't be too worried that Clifford Lee has gone for Boiling Point. He'll do for me, Ice Max, but it's a good race. It's a tough race, and a lot will depend on the run of the race.
Yeah, agreed. And Ice Max, in contrast, last year Persica was in 7 and Ice Max was in 1. And this year Persica's in 1 and Ice Max is in 6. And Persica's won twice around here from box 7 and then a handicap from box 11. And on both those occasions, under Ryan Moore, he's turned into the home straight, swinging on the outside, and he's powered down the centre. He's going to have to do a different thing from the inside. Whereas Ice Max, like you said, is actually in a better position, even if he does go, even if he does race prominently. I'd still rather him be doing it that sort of one off the rail.
Yeah, that's the reason I came down on him. But as I say, I don't think I'll be having a bet in the race, because I think this is I could make a case for Skakuza too on his best form. Don't think he was at his best last time. I think he likes, the stronger the pace, the better he is. Ryan rides him obviously this time. So, and Seagulls 11 was good in France. So I think it's really, really tight, a really, really tough, good race. Really looking forward to it. My pin for this show comes down on Ice Max, but I wouldn't be that confident.
Okay, Ice Max it is. Yeah, I mean, you could even Royal Playwright, who was disappointing this last year, but he's got very good form in rain softened ground, so he'll appreciate the conditions. So, like I said, Skakuza, I mean, Chancellor has been talked up a few times of being a good horse. He keeps going off a short prize. He's got a fast finishing style that can be a bit of a hostage to fortune. I mean, God knows what to expect from Kira. I mean, is it the problem?
I was going to say, how's the Sussex Stakes winner, like 12 to 1?
But the thing is, like, he's always been a good horse, but then your brain kind of adjusts. It's like, he's a Group 1 horse now? But he's not a Group 1 horse.
No, he's not. He did run well in the City of York.
Yeah.
But not to the level. I mean, everything underperformed in Sussex, he got a complete freebie. Yeah. We talk about his loads of pace on, which is, I don't know, probably he's not going to get his own way up front, is he? I thought he was still kind of interested in the prices, but I'm with Tom of Ice Max, yeah. As Tom said, Sam James, I'm not really bothered by that jockey book. He's ridden him his last two starts, whereas Clifford Lee's ridden the other one. I catch him running this last season. Should get the pace to chase. A bit of rain would not have hurt one bit. Thought he ran a good race behind a Lambourne a couple of starts ago in the Huxley. You know, things all his own way there. And, yeah, he should just be competitive. But, boy, could you make cases for a lot of them.
Yeah. I mean, you could genuinely, again, I don't like races, or don't like betting races where you genuinely go,
don't know,
any of these could win.
Yeah, well, one thing I do not think, I think Persica is not a value at all.
Yeah.
He's gone backwards for me since that win last season. So, I mean, it would have been aimed at it, but I want a bit more juice, I think, because this does look a bit stronger than last year's.
No, fair enough. Fair enough, then. Although Richard Hannon is firing on all cylinders, isn't he? So that's at least a positive in his favour. Next up, we go over 10 furlongs for a red-hot handicap here. 17 of them lining up for this 10 furlong handicap. But this is Roger Varian's favourite race, isn't it? And surely after an eye-catching run last time out for Salal, all systems go for tomorrow. 7-2, Respond 11-2, Hand of God 7s, Alpha Crucis 9s, Tycoon is 11-1. You've also got Liberty Lane and Bolster, who ran in this a couple of seasons ago, where the former was ridden for future races in mind, and the latter won it potentially. Spoken Truth ran into a good horse last time out as well. And you've got Keda Bethune, who hasn't been seen since winning at Royal Ascot last year. Gelded, Switched Yards, bought by Wife Nan. He's an interesting runner. So it's
Tracker
17.
When I saw it, I just put him in the tracker. Like, I don't think tomorrow will be his day.
Yeah.
But maybe
automatically put him in.
I just want to see what he's up to, how he shapes it.
Yeah.
Maybe some at Ascot, maybe that's too soon, I don't know. Interesting horse though. It's a well good race, isn't it?
It is. It's a really, really good lineup. But Salal does look like a group horse in a handicap. And even if you discount the ride last time out, it's still very good form anyway.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he could be that group horse, as you say. Has he gone up £5 for that last run? Probably not ideal, but and you just worry his run style means he might just get unlucky again. Yeah. I know Roger Varian questioned his resolve as well. I've seen in quotes, so I don't know if he's tough enough. And you kind of want a bit of grit in a big field handicap. He's going to have to be good to win off 107. He's clearly talented as well, but
he's 7-2.
Yeah, exactly. But it's easy to gravitate towards him. I thought I found one at 40-1.
All right.
Great David. Remember him? Your man, James Tate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought he was a bit interesting. He kind of not run well in a while, but ran a massive race in the D-Stakes last season. I know James Tate is convinced he just wants a bit of slower ground, but he's only been running on fast his last four runs. He probably would have needed. He had a long time off at Chester. He had a bit of a wide trip, etc. I mean, that was quite an underwhelming run. But he's got cheap pieces on for the first time, trying to do something different. And Ross O'Ryan he's got a really high profit for winning a run for James Tate. So I just thought at 40-1, he could be worth it with sort of five places off the grass.
Yeah, he's got one of those profiles. I know a couple of people I've worked with in the past too. They're livid when the course is a campaign like this. He's like, you've
got
86 and now you've run third in the listed race around Chester and you're rated 102. You could have won five handicaps.
On paper, it's not very smart, is it?
Yeah.
But I think he's worth his rating.
Yeah, he is. It's just that, I guess it depends. I live in Yorkshire, so it's Yorkshireman going, we could have won 10 grand handicaps for that.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, he's only picked up £29,000 in prize money, so he's going to have to start paying soon. I dare say his owners might be making a loss at the moment.
Yeah, but
good, he's good also.
Out
of all of these, he was the one that caught my eye. I thought he was a bigger price than he ought to be.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe he's done, I don't know. But at 40 to 1, like, you're going to find holes.
Yeah, no, fair. And he's definitely likely to have come on for that.
Yeah, that's how he's going to need to have.
Yeah. But again, 40 to 1.
40 to 1, yeah, like, never put someone down for putting up a 40 to 1 try.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Right, great David for Mr. Wilders. What about Mr. Siegel? What have you got up your sleeve in this big field handicap?
Well, Salal's obviously the interesting one, isn't he? He's a half-brother to Ben Battle and El Malka, and Roger Varian is completely bonkers with his four-year-olds from three-year-olds, isn't he? They tend to improve like no one else's horses. We've seen it with... what's that horse today? Sadad this year, yeah. Didn't we? And Sharon the year before or whenever. Do you know what I mean? They can literally take off. So he's clearly very interesting. But he is up £5 for being beaten in a six-runner race last time. I know it was he was eye-catching. But the biggest thing, he's drawn in trap 16. Is that good or bad? Could be bad. If they stick down the far side, that could be bad. He might have to go around the whole field. He might be able to do it. I don't want to back him at 3-1 to do that. You know, he'll have to, you know, he might be a group horse and he still might not win. That's the issue with being drawn out wide and over a mile. Now, if they all come to the stand side, of course, that won't be a bad draw at all. Might be a good draw. But at this stage, trap 16 looks tricky on the mile track at Epsom for me, or the mile and a quarter track for Epsom. It's always, over the years, been quite hard to win out from there. Sky Defender did it once for Mark Johnson, but he sort of got out quickly and made the running. That is not Salal's style. If they get a run up the rail off against him, I think it will be hard. I think he can do it, but 3-1, no. I like football fans aren't going to like this. Robbie, you're not going to like this. The hand of God.
To be honest, Tom, I don't love England. I shouldn't say that.
Oh dear me, they'll be outside your house. We'll be Wilders.
I cheer on Chelsea players at the World Cup for other.
Yeah.
I don't know how people hate that, but.
You're Chelsea through and through.
I don't see how you can. I never understand that people care more about England than their club.
Yeah, well, that's a debate for another time.
Nah, but yeah,
possibly Mark Landon comes in at the end to talk about the World Cup, and we'll talk about it then.
Is Mark Landon coming in today to talk about the World Cup?
He's coming to talk about the World Cup. He's joining us at the end. Yeah,
exciting times.
Fantastic. That's been the most interesting. I can't say that.
Not wrong though.
Boys, they're gonna. Robbie was about to get the commenters on him. Now you've taken. That's very kind of you, Tom. Take him away from Robbie. It's about that bit in Jurassic Park where they're waving a flare to get the T-Rex away. It's very kind of you.
I like the hand of God a bit. He was obviously a Royal Ascot winner. Got injured last year. Things didn't go his way. I thought he was really impressive at Newbury. The issue will be the ground, but I don't know if you've got your stats there, Ross, but I think I'm a big fan of Churchill's when they get a bit of give in the ground, the Darney and lots of other ones. They like soft ground. So I'm hoping that he won the Isha Cup as well when it was soft. So I'm hoping that they bite the bullet and let him run, because I thought he was really impressive at Newbury. He went up the same amount as Salal did, but he won by 3 lengths on the bridle. So I thought he had a good chance on his, especially on the Royal Ascot form. I still think he's well handicapped. Lower draw. Don't know if that's good or bad, as I say. If it's good, it gives him a chance of beating Salal. And the other one is, I just couldn't resist my old favourite, the old Loon Toon or whatever, the old Toon Loon or whatever. I just like him. I like his finish. I like horses that hit the line hard. He's done it. He's won a few good races in that style. I think he hasn't really had a chance to run over a mile and a half with giving the ground for ages. But he's got that tomorrow. He ran really well at Windsor the other night. The ground would have been too quick for him. I know he's won at Windsor before, but I think he likes a bit of giving the ground. And he was a bit unlucky not to win. I know they all finished in a heap, but he missed the second half of last season. So he probably has had an injury. He's probably taken a few runs to get back to his peak. That looked like he was getting there. He's handicapped perfectly feasibly well. So the old Toon Loon would be certainly on the list, and Diego Maradona's Hand of God's the other one.
All right, there you go. Hand of God and Old Toon Loon. And Great David at a very big price for...
you, Ross.
Yeah,
you've managed to avoid this race.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
This is your race, mate. These middle-distance handicaps.
No, three-year-olds, maybe.
Three-year-olds, yeah.
I don't like races where I... like the favourite, where I think the favourite is the most likely winner. And immediately when I look at that, I normally think, well, I don't really want to get involved necessarily. I think he's the best horse in the race. There's not much at bigger prices that excited me, so I thought he was fairly... It was big on numbers, but not necessarily big on quality. The most interesting horse, by far, is Key to Bethune. But I do think the favourite's the best horse in here. So I backed Liberty Lane in this a couple of years ago when he wasn't given a chance to win, and Bolster won it instead. So it's not a race I've had a particularly like, and I like, and I think the favourite's the most likely winner. So it's a for me personally. So
fair enough.
But yeah, I kind of hope we see an. I kind of hope the. I also want to see, like you said, those slow-burning handicappers. We've said it for a couple of seasons now, but again, the markets, they're so sharp, especially in these handicaps. You know, Merchant last year is the first one that comes to mind. And the group horses in handicaps, you think, oh, that's 17 runners, but there's three horses who are good enough to win these races these days. So, yeah, I think Salal will most likely win it. So there you go. There you go.
Thanks for your thoughts, Ross.
He might go off to the... And if he does, he might... What? Wolf Return or something similar to that, probably?
Could be. Could be too soon. Who knows?
Yeah.
Nah, too... Nah, run him more. Run him more often.
Depends what the turnaround is, because he did this with Mountain Angel, I think, a few years ago.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Similar time.
That's not long now, is it? Wolf and start of the week, isn't it? 10 days.
I don't know. They've changed it. They move
They're
around
always
so much,
tweaking.
So, yeah. So maybe it might be... Might be 2 weeks.
When's this? He's 107 already, Ross. What would he be, 110? Group race? Is there a group race? Is there a race for him at Ascot, which is not a handicap?
Well, the Wolfton's a listed race, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, yeah. You'll know better than me, is it?
Or is it listed handicap?
Yeah, it's listed.
It's listed now, isn't it? It used to be a handicap. Oh, anyway, well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Yeah, but you're right, yeah. He's definitely done it in the past, but 10 furlongs around Ascot. But anyway, look, I think he's the most likely winner tomorrow. So the question is, do I want to back him at 7-2 or just... watch him, and it'll probably be the latter. The big race, then. The big race of the day on Friday is the Epsom Oaks, a mile and a half for the three-year-old fillies, and Amelia Earhart is 2-1 favourite. Legacy Link is 9-2. Thundering On, 11-2. Alaprocane is 8-1 with Cameo. Venetian Lace, Caterar, Sugar Island, and On Message are in there as well. And again, it's another... at Ballydoyle Benefit at the top of the betting. Amelia Earhart, who won the same race that Minnie Hawk did before taking this last season over at Chester. But again, a really good field amassing. Legacy Link, who looked an Oaks horse last year and looks even more an Oaks horse after what she did at York. Joseph O'Brien sends one over in the shape of Thundering On, who doctored up last time out. Cameo, again, proper mile and a half form last time out at Lingfield, grounded out. From a long way out, Alaprocane doesn't have that much to find with the favourite, and Caterar doesn't have that much to find with the second favourite, and they're both trained by the king of improving fillies and mares in the shape of Rafe Beckett. Then you've got Venetian Lace as well, who's done really well, and the question is, has the ground gone against her? And then a few more in there as well. But Tom, the favourite, Amelia Earhart. Part of me thinks they're kind of going with her because, again, well, Minnie Hawk won that race last year. This is what Aidan does. She's got the hood and the blinkers on, which suggests a few quirks. Although I did have a theory that, Tom, I did think, has she got the hood and the blinkers on because she's quirky, or is she just taken after a namesake and she's got, you know, the flying goggles and the hood on? I don't know. Maybe it's for aesthetic purposes.
Yeah, maybe to fit in. I don't know about Amelia. She's not a horse I can back. Is she a 2-1 or whatever it is? Chesterfall, who knows, looked pretty rubbish to me. Time wasn't great. She might be very good. Who knows? She wasn't like outstanding as a 2-year-old, but she's taken a big step forward up to staying trips as her pedigree suggested she would. Not many horses stay. She will if she had the Ballydoyle win all these races. So she's clearly got a good chance. But on most metrics, there'll be plenty in front of her. In this race, most notably Legacy Link, I think, although I don't think she's top of most metrics either. I like Legacy Link. I mean, I've got involved in this race anti-poach, so I'm on Thundering On and Venetian Lace. Long time ago, I don't think Venetian Lace is a certain stayer. The more I look at her, the more I think she's not certain to stay. I do like Thundering On. I think she's a really interesting filly. But if I was to say who I think the most likely winner now is, I think it's probably Legacy Link. At the time when I did it, Legacy Link was sort of... the forgotten filly. I'm the One was the Gosden filly they were all talking about, which I thought she was really good at in the Mutador. And the reason I thought she was really good is that she did something that most horses don't do, and that's that she sort of pulled quite hard. She was quite keen. She cantered into the lead, and then looking like she's going to win by miles, and the Ed Walker filly came up to her. Now, she might not have stayed the Ed Walker filly, but I thought Legacy Link was strong at the line again. And if you watch the pull-up, I'm a big into watching the pull-up, because I think you can learn a lot from the pull-up. She was still cantering. She was still careering around the track, halfway around the track. I think she halfway around the bend. I think she's going to love the step up to a mile and a half. And I think, given that that was her first run of the season and the profile of the Gosdens, she's going to take a big step forward. So I'd have her over Amelia Earhart. I've got to mention, also got to mention that I think 11 of the last 12 Oakses have gone to Gosden or O'Brien, yeah. I think. Yeah. I think Dermot Weld broke that sort of run a couple of years ago, but 11 of the, you know, so it's not surprising they've got the two at the top of the market. Not many trainers have staying fillies. Those two tend to. So those would be the obvious ones. But I do think Thundering Zon's got a chance. I think in years to come, we might be talking about Joseph O'Brien as in that sort of level as his father. I think he's incredibly good, Joseph. Every time I look up, there's another Joseph horse running a really big race in a big race somewhere around the world. And I think Thundering Zon is just very interesting. Best bred horse in the race, for starters. On official rating, she's better than Legacy Link and Amelia Earhart. I just think she might take a step forward too. I think she's only had four runs. I thought she looked like she would stay last time, and the striding experts, well, I don't know whether I'm fully on board with the striding experts just yet. They might. I think there's definitely something in it, but I've read one striding expert that said she wouldn't stay, and another one said she would stay, and another one says she's not sure. So I just don't know whether she'll stay or not. But if she does, I think she's got a bit of an X factor about her, so I would throw her in with the top two. I do think Legacy Link's the one to beat, but I think Thundering Zon's the danger. I don't fancy any of the Beckett fillies. I don't think any of them will be good enough at all myself. But I would go for Legacy Link, and Thundering Zon would be my two, but I am scared of Amelia Earhart, and you just don't know what you're going to get from the other O'Briens. Yeah. Cameo looked good. He's a stayer. And the other one, Sugar Island, there's been a bit of money around for her. She beat Thundering Zon and Cameo last year in soft ground. So you just don't know what you're going to get from them. But those would be my two. Legacy Link to win, and maybe Thundering Zon to be the danger.
All right. Fair enough. And yeah, to pick up on a couple of things. I think, yeah, I mean, Joseph O'Brien, he had the first winner at Leopardstown tonight. There was two Aidan O'Brien, incredibly well-bred joint favourites, and Joseph beat them, and he'll win average races at Dundalk. He'll win staying chases. I mean, he's absolutely, I'm just impressed with the way that, you know, you've got 500 horses or whatever, and chasers, hurdlers, 2-year-olds, older horses, just getting all them in the right races and actually getting them ready for that is incredible stuff. But he has learned for the best, obviously. But yeah, I like Legacy Link as well. I like horses, again, like what Tom said, hit the line hard is a big thing. But also I like horses that, when horses challenge on the outside, I think I like it when a horse on the inside battles back again, because I think you are at an advantage if you whip round and challenge down on the outside of a horse. And the fact that she battled with Felicitas, saw off Felicitas, and then went away at the line, I thought that was a classy look.
Definitely was, yeah. I mean, I read your column earlier this week. You're obviously kicking yourself you didn't back for the Oaks as a 2-year-old now, aren't you?
Well, it's that thing, isn't it? I'm not a big Antipost fan in general, especially not on the flat, but so obviously you only remember the ones where you're like, I thought this last year and I didn't back him. I don't remember I haven't gone back in my notes and looked at the five or six other horses I thought this could develop into this kind of horse, and they haven't.
Yeah, if you do that, you're going to back plenty of losers, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
I get the case. I did the pin stickers guide on this. I had a third Legacy Link. I definitely prefer it to Amelia Earhart. It's not the price I really understand. She's just priced on the fact that Ryan Moore's riding her and she's trained by Aidan.
Yeah,
I think Cameo's achieved more. Looking at the other day, I thought Cameo was bonkers. She's priced at 20-1. Don't mind the Linkfield form at all. Faster time than the Colts version. Thought won it with plenty under the bonnet. Just like not really a sexy 2-year-old sort of profile. Like just re-risen, one of those horses has risen up the pecking order. I said in the week, she reminds me of Snowfall, just sort of come from nowhere to be a, a bit of a player in the middle distance scene.
Well, they do. I mean, you know, Peeping Four, I remember a few years ago, that some of these fillies can, you know, hit them again the middle of their three-year-old season and just really come into their own.
Then World did nothing really at Toulouse and ended up being like only Mini Hawk was better.
Well, and Snowfall and Love were beaten in the fillies mile and then got better as a three-year-old.
The pecking changes.
Yeah. I mean, Precise, even when Precise won last year, she beat two shorter priced horses in the two-year-old.
Moigler. It just changes.
It does, yeah.
So you can't get overly sucked into the market in that sense with Aidan's horses, because I think he had four second or third or fourth strings win the Oaks, and he's obviously won derbies with them as well.
Well, and Ryan's got beat on the two horses he's chosen for the Guineas this year, 1,000 Guineas, for example. So
exactly.
Yeah.
So it obviously carries weight, but I'm always looking for a Ballydoyle like second or first string that's been overlooked. And she was, Cameo was 20-1 on Saturday, sort of. That's long gone now. I think she's where she should be. There's not really that much juice in 15-2. I think Tom's made a cracking case on Thunder and On, though. That was the one I had second in the old pin stickers. Won the same trial that Ezalea did, obviously, 2 years ago. Won that, very impressive as well. And I'm a massive Joseph O'Brien fanboy, too. He did mention the Prix de Diane for her after that. So I think it's interesting that he's changed his mind to come here. Obviously got to prove her stamina, but I'm not really seeing that as being too much an issue. She's very strong at the line at Navan. It's obviously a stiff 1-2, good time and that. So they were the two I like at the moment, Cameo and Fondering On.
All right. He's possibly thought as well, hey, you know what? I've got a chance of winning the Oaks and the Derby this year, so let's have a crack at both.
I think you have. I like James J in the Derby
James
as well.
Braddock,
wouldn't put it beyond him.
No, agreed. Okay. As for the chat, Tommy says, I backed Amelia Earhart at Galway last year and she hit the rail. Hope she doesn't do that to tomorrow. Kayser R for me, says Paul. Dreadful chance, however. Fair enough. But unless you're a Chelsea fan, in which case we're going to Wembley often.
We always go to Wembley, but don't win there very often.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but the song doesn't say we win. We just say we're going.
We're just
going
to go there. Yeah. Seven Wembley defeats in a row.
Yeah. That's impressive.
It's no good.
Yeah. It's very impressive.
Believe in Alonso.
Bottlers.
Yes, Reading has been to Wembley, Ross, a few times. We lose every time we go there as well.
Yeah, yeah. my first footballing memory was Wednesday getting beaten in two cup finals in 1993 as well. So, yeah, we've all...
Yeah, we've all done it. We've been in three playoff finals, lost every one.
Yeah.
No good.
Yeah. Let's just take a moment to be sad about all this. Right, moving on. We've got three more races to get through on the Epsom car. We've got another big field handicap. This one over a mile and a half of furlong up next. 18 of them. Never mind the 17 run a race earlier. Salaborn is 5-1. Stem 11-2. Mr. Winston is 13-2. Man of La Mancha, 7s. Asman Warrior, 9s. You've got other interesting horses like last year's winner Mirsky, Principality, who impressed last time out. Hot Cash, who has got course form and soft ground form as well. And Bragbore, I thought it might be interesting. Fahey and Spencer booked for that one as well. This is wide open stuff, Tom Siegel. Have you tipped anything in this?
Yeah, Man of La Mancha I went for, just simply because I thought it was a better race. I like the Spring Cup form. I thought it was really good. I like Indolo or the Hump Cup a bit. I thought the Jack Shannon horse that was third and looked like a potential Group Horse Mezzacala or whatever it's called. I just like that form. He was a bit unlucky, squeezed out, furlong and a half out, might have been fourth, but just right on the heels of a very good EBT's guards, a very solid yardstick in that type of race. Like soft ground, won't mind if it rains. Rafe Beckett, big Epsom fan, does well at Epsom. Just thought he had a lot going for him. It's a hard race. Celeborn's obviously got a good chance as well. But Man of La Mancha would do for me around 7-1.
All right, Man of La Mancha, who, like you said, you were talking about the market, always popular in the market, is Man of La Mancha, a four-year-old with more to come. Robbie Wilders, what do you like?
I like STEM. Do you like STEM?
I think it's very important, yeah. Yeah, very important to get the kids into science.
Nice.
Yeah.
Old school. I've not heard a reference in that context in a while. Yeah. His form is all at Newbury, but he's just got a couple of form lines that make him really well handicapped. Obviously, this one at Ascot behind Crown of Oaks, who's gone out and shot up the weight, second to Crown of Oaks. And then he split Eternal Force and Jack Shannon horse, I forget the name. Lord Montague won again since.
Eternal Force gone up quite a bit. Ran all right in the Spring Cup. I know Richard Hannum thinks he wants a bit of juice on the foot. The rain earlier this week would not have hurt one bit. And he was down the pecking order in jockey bookings that day. So I suspect he may have needed it. I don't know. See how he gets on around Epsom. But I still think he's well handicapped. And I'm going to give him another chance after the reappearance.
Yeah, no, he is very interesting. I mean, even that, he ran over a mile and a half at Doncaster last year, didn't he? One place behind him, a horse called Kodiak, who won the other day off 84. Arabian Poet was just ahead of him off 88. The winner, the Cursor, won by half of Newcastle off 87. Yeah. And he was giving them all weight. So
it stacks up. Yeah. He's 2 runs ago, he did an RPR of 100 and he's rated 89. So unless our handicap has got it all wrong, he is well treated.
Well, and also you could have just backed Richard Hannum handicappers in mile handicaps this year and not had another bet and probably pay off your mortgage. I mean, he had a double at Sandown the other night. Obviously, Linwood bolting up. But he's having quite the season, isn't he?
He's figured it out. He's getting the hang of the game. The 10 years.
There you go. It's all coming together.
It's your theory, mate.
It's all coming together. The only other two, like I said, hot cash interested me a little bit just because, again, course form, soft ground form. I'd be surprised if he isn't in and around the finishers. And I do like Principality as well. I get the feeling he's got more to come. He's a bit of a hostage to fortune at sometimes with his run style again. So you're hoping for a split at the right time. But it's another absolute nightmare.
What do them and Principality have in common?
What do the colour of their silks? I don't know.
Please.
Both by my favourite side, Calyx.
Yeah.
Who's now no longer with us.
Yeah.
Such a shame.
I thought Knight of Thunder was your number one, or is he number two?
Well, he is now, because Calyx is dead, Ross.
Right, yeah, fair enough, yeah.
He's your second
favourite. Calyx was a different level, though, wasn't he? Calyx was servicing low-quality mares and upgrading them. Knight of Thunder's, like, top tier. Mm.
Yeah. Fair enough. Calyx, Sam, has he got tomorrow? He's got 7 runners spread across the card, but only 2 at Epsom, and they are the 2 in this race.
Bonavara, that's Calyx, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, we digress.
We do, but we often do, and that's
the beauty of the show.
That's part of the show. That's part of the show.
Indeed.
Tommy Daniels tilting at Windmills with Man of La Mancha, Mersky Man of La Mancha, and Sterling Knight for Robble Drasher as well. Right, 2 more to go. The 5:15, otherwise known as the Surrey Stakes, is a listed race for the 7 furlong 3-year-old, Stella Sunrise 5-2, Greek Mythology 4s, Northern Champion 4s, 10 Carat Harry 7-1, Postmodern is 17-2, and then we've got Lucid Butterfly, Awaken, Ardesia, and Asaranka for the aforementioned Richard Hannum, the outsider of the bunch. But Stella Sunrise is the market leader for Balding and Murphy. Incredibly impressive at Newbury when bolting up in a handicap. And my impression was market down to Newmarket last time out. To a certain extent, and also got beat by a nice horse as well.
I think that win at Newmarket is very good.
Yeah, so I think the track, and he might be a very, very good animal.
I think he's going to win the Jersey Stakes.
Yeah,
that's an early prediction for you. Not got Market yet, but
Saber Strike.
Oh, I know, yeah.
That's a good horse.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, your favourite.
There you go, yeah. So does that mean you fancy Stella Sunrise to win?
Don't know, not really. I mean,
fair enough.
At the price, I mean, I think the market isn't a million miles off, really. This is the sort of race that Joseph O'Brien comes over and wins, isn't it?
Well, I assume you're going to tell me that you fancy Greek Mythology.
I'm not going to tell you that.
No, I'm not going to. Go on, this curveball's coming from all over the place.
Northern Champion, I think, is interesting.
Thank you.
Maidan. You like a Maidan form, don't you?
Oh, I just thought you were calling me a Northern Champion. But
no. Nah, you're a Northern Swinger, that's what you are.
Of course, yeah, I forgot.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
Yeah, fair enough. Never mind, producer Sam. You must have missed it earlier.
Northern Champion. He ran in the Alcor's Sprint last time, only 3-year-old. Racing against horses like Lazat, a Japanese group woman and stuff, like unrealistic assignment. He's won a couple of Maidan races in good style. One of them, he was drawn well away from everything, still managed to win. He was in 14. The next one's home were 1 and 3. That was impressive. Ed Walker is aiming for the Commonwealth Cup. Has he got the entry? I don't know if he still has, actually. I should have checked that. Maybe he could go and win this at 7 round Epsom and then go on and run one of the Commonwealth Cup. But I think he's interesting.
He's won on soft ground.
He could also go for the Connections won the jersey last year as well, didn't they? So he might be another.
That's a good point, actually. But he's got soft ground form in France, won a very valuable maiden there. He's just been given quite a bold campaign, I thought, to run him in the Alcoz. Coming off a bit of a break, but he was the most interesting, I thought. It's pretty tough.
All right. So I thought he was going to go for Stella Sunrise, then the Greek mythology, but no, he's going for Northern Champion. Tom, what about you?
Yeah, I'm a bit lukewarm on Stella Sunrise, just for the reasons Robbie's. I'm just not convinced, as you say, that, you know, last year he was winning at Goodwood, wasn't he, at the August meet by...
He won the maiden at the Glorious Goodwood meeting, yeah.
Yeah, he just didn't look a brilliant horse, did he? But he improved and he got better and he looked good at Newbury, for sure. Newmarket last time ground might have been a bit quick for him, maybe. Yeah, look, he can go well, but I wasn't convinced. I thought Joseph O'Brien's horse had a chance. Greek mythology. I think when you are a three-year-old running against the older horses at that early stage of the season, like he did last time, it's quite a test in soft ground to beat them. He got quite close to Expanded and... What's the name of the winner? Wannabe Royal was the name of the winner. And I think... He can go well from the front here, especially if he gets out and gets clear. So he'd be my choice, Greek mythology. I like that run last time.
All right. Okay. I've got a sneaky suspicion. The ground worries me slightly, but the 10 Carat Harry just keeps doing good stuff. And he's run once over seven. He ran another listed race at Lingfield. He was drawn in box one. He came all the way down the inside and he stayed on really well. But he's done some incredible numbers on the all weather, and then he surprised me a bit winning at Newmarket last time out. But he just keeps getting better and better and better with every single run. So he interested me a little bit. He's kind of a bit out of left field because obviously he's risen from the all weather ranks. But yeah,
he's never had a break in his career since he started in September 2025.
He's
obviously tough,
and every single run he gets better, which is remarkable, really.
Mental, yeah,
it might come to an end. You're right, but I do like him. I like him a lot. Right, last race of the day then is also over seven furlongs. And deep breath, here we go again. She's back.
Your favourite.
It's Dance in the Storm. She is my favourite, but she's not paid me for being my favourite. 9-4, Ross Golin 9-2, Crimson Spirit 17-2, Zarathos 10s, Arctic Thunder 11s, and bigger prices the rest. Dance in the Storm, who, again, to me, she's a Knight of Thunder. She's from a fantastic family. She's got an incredible turn of foot. And I backed her in three handicaps last year, and she was unlucky in every single one of them. And then I went on holiday for the Chester May meeting, and she won Cosley from a wide draw. But, again, I think she's a black-type filly in a handicap. But so does everyone else, apparently. Tom, so she's no price. Anything at a bigger price that tickled your fancy?
I thought she obviously had a very good chance. She was impressive at Chester the other day, was it? Mm-hmm. I think so. Ross Golin obviously always runs well in this race. How many times has he won it? Not even sure, but he's definitely going to go well, isn't he, on Grand Ole Opry? He's just drawn in track 13. I don't know, Ross.
We don't know until tomorrow, do we? We don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know. Pietro's got a chance, hasn't he? He's improving. Mm. But you know, there's quite a few in there that I thought I didn't fancy. So maybe the 9-4 isn't that bad a price at the end of the day. You know, I kept going through it thinking, got to find something. And the only ones I could find were the obvious ones. You know, your Ross Golins and your Pietros. Mm. I mean, Pietro's a big enough price, but I don't know. I think Dance in the Storm might actually win this.
Yeah.
Even though it's 9-4, she's 9-4.
Well, again, and like I said, I think the value often is more and more at the top of the market because they are so sharp. And I do think, again, you get 18 runner races and 15, like I said earlier, 15 of them are handicappers and a couple of them might rise out of those ranks. I do think she's very good. It's just
finding hard luck.
Well, yeah, and it's just a painful watch at this price, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. I mean, it's one of Rodders' better theories, isn't it? That that the markets and handicaps are more mature than the group races nowadays. Absolutely. It's a good theory, to be fair to our friend.
Very quickly, any angles in the last?
Dance in the Storm will win, pal. Knight of Thunder, my favourite sire, and Tom's. Did well in the circumstances, obviously, last time in, as he had too often. So, yeah, I think she's well treated up £6. She had no right to win that race last time and can end up in listed group company soon.
All right. Okay. There you go. That's the last race on the card. I think New Bay might be mine, but
it's not a bad one either.
Not a bad one. 10 Carat Harry for Rob in the previous one and the Angel King for Williams and Loughnan in the last. Right. Okay. Very quickly then, let's get a... I don't know. I was going to have a recap throughout our selections of the races, but there's so many of them. And Mark Landon's pacing around outside because he's got World Cup fever, bless him. He's sweating and talking Portuguese and getting excited about Brazil or something. I don't know. It's all going on. So let's just get the nap, shall we, on Oaks Day. Starting off with the man to my left, Mr. Robbie Wilder's best bet on the Friday.
I'll be happiest if Cameo wins the Oaks, so let's stick with that. Cameo, 4 o'clock, Epsom.
All right, okay, fair enough. Robbie Wilders, available on Cameo for all your video needs.
Oh, if only. I would only charge about £7 as well.
£7. It's a bargain. Tom Siegel, what's your pick?
I will go for Diego Maradona, the hand of God. I mean, he might beat Salau.
All right, Diego Maradona, then the hand of God. Crikey. I mean, again, I think Salau might win, but I think Dance in the Storm is the nap. But I do think 10 Carat Harry's a bit big. But we'll stick with Dance in the Storm, and you will no doubt break my heart once again. Right, we'll be back tomorrow to preview the Derby and, of course, the rest of the supporting card. Tom Siegel's going to say goodnight. So goodnight, Tom.
Bye.
And, bye, Tom.
See you, guys.
Let's get the Reading fan out of the way, play a little bit of a VT, and then let's talk football with Mark Landon.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
Thank you, Keith. No, I can't do it. No, it's terrible. Anyway, Keith.
I'll leave it to me, mate. The sprint handicaps, that's where all the good horses are.
No, he's gone. You did. No, you've gone Sean Connery. He was so good a second ago. It was so good a second ago. Anyway, let's talk the World Cup, shall we? Because it's happening. It's bloody happening. You can't stop it. And in a week, we will see Mexico take on South Africa. And Mark Langdon has, as I was saying, you've got World Cup fever. You're sweating. You're excited. You've got this year 700 matches to watch. A group
104. Come on,
104. Four group stages, 17 knockout stages, 12 host nations. It's all going on.
It is absolutely, and most of it takes place in the middle of the night as well.
Exactly, so,
yeah. Look, World Cups doesn't matter. There's always problems with World Cups. There's too many teams. There's the heat. You know, the hosts have got sort of issues politically. It happens just about every time.
Yeah.
And then when the World Cup's on. Is there anything better from a sporting point of view? No, it's the best. It's not the best football teams necessarily, but it's the best football event that you can get. And even you, Ross, will be excited once we reach the knockout stages.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm just annoyed. I am annoyed mostly about the kickoff times because there's nothing I like more than putting on the telly and going, oh, it's 5 o'clock, what match? Oh, God, Jordan are playing. Fantastic, I'd love to watch this.
Yeah, that's a Scotland game at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
It's too much.
On the flip side, I'm going to wake up every morning going, I've got an hour's worth of highlights to watch.
The punters will be up watching, don't worry about that. It's still going to be
the
a
football
great
traders. Let's have a moment for the football traders.
Like, if you think about NFL, one of the most popular sports in the UK at the moment, I mean, that takes place, you know, 6 p.m. one game, and then you've got 9 p.m. 1:15, and people stay up mainly because they've got the TV to themselves at that time, and they haven't got a fight for Love Island or Coronation Street or whatever. So look, it's still going to be a great betting heat. We've got a load of coverage coming up in the Racing Post on the YouTube channel on Monday evening from 6 p.m. Got myself, professional punter Nick Goff, and presenter Warren Ashurst going through all the groups, outright selections, top goal scorer, any other angles that we like. And then on Tuesday, I've even got this out of the bin, so I can hold it up just in time.
Your hands
it's
off.
The Racing Post pull out for the World Cup. 80 pages we will have.
First off, Mark, why did you print that out on a piece of paper? And secondly, then why did you throw it away?
Because we used it for another teaser, and then somebody just said in the green room there, get it back out of the bin. So look, it's 80 pages in Tuesday's Racing Post. Team by team guides, one page for every team from Algeria to Uzbekistan.
Okay, right. So, and again, I was going to say dark horses, but it can't be Turkey again.
It can be Turkey again. Of course it can. everybody mocks the kind of Turkey being dark horses. They've got a good side going to the US this year. There's no doubt about that. Güler had a brilliant season for Real Madrid. They're in one of the softer groups alongside the co-host US. And US might do better than people expect as well. But I certainly couldn't put people off Turkey. Although if you do back them, be prepared for the mockery that will come if they get knocked out early.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Should say as well, Lango is the man who tipped PSG to win the Champions League at 10-1. That is value. He's got it.
Thank you, Robbie.
And that was a wonderful outcome as well. I'm sure a lot of our viewers will agree.
As a Chelsea fan,
Arsenal should never win a Champions League.
Yeah, yeah. Robbie, so he's got the you've got England fans, you've got Arsenal fans now laying into you as well. So Robbie's really.
I'll stay quiet on the Arsenal front.
The PSG winnings will be going onto the outright market on who?
I like Portugal outright. I think their midfield is fantastic. Got João Neves and Vitinho, who were part of that PSG team. Nuno Mendes, the left back as well, from PSG. So you've got three Champions League winners. The fact that they play in France as well in Ligue 1, but PSG don't need to try half the time, so their players will be fresher. You imagine like Declan Rice comes into this tournament having like worked his backside off, you know, week in, week out for Arsenal. Like,
The Arsenal attackers will be fresh though, because they've got.
Well, yeah, they don't get much work, do they? Yeah. You've got Bruno Fernandes didn't play in Europe this season as well. Bernardo Silva, I think, you know, looking for a new club. The one question mark I've got is Cristiano Ronaldo up
front. Why is he playing now?
But surely he's retired, right?
No, we don't retire. Ronaldo will not be retired. Yeah. But last season's Nations League, he scored in the semi-final against Germany, scored in the final against Spain. And because of the heat, I don't think you're going to need to press in this tournament. So it's not like you're going to be carrying a player, because I don't think anybody will be playing like that.
Good angle.
Okay, last question for you before you go. What's the one thing everyone will disagree with you on the show on Monday? Is there something where people will go, what were you talking about, Lionel? Come on.
We're fairly negative about Scotland. So apologies. Not only do you get a bad Keith Melrose accent, you also get some negativity around Scotland. Now, I think I won't give away everything, but me and Nick would be sort of down on a couple of the teams right at the top of the market.
All right. Okay. So, reminders again, Monday night?
Monday night, 6 o'clock, YouTube channel for the Racing Post video show. Then Tuesday morning, in your Racing Post, 80-page guide to the tournament.
All right. Not to be missed. I love this, but read it every year. It's a brilliant. One of the best things we do, for sure. It's a big kickoff.
Yeah, producer Sam reminds us.
It's not every year. Well, the big kick of that style, yeah.
You went a bit Trump there, didn't you? This is we put the best World Cups on every year. Don't tell him. Nobody tell him. No one tell Robbie there's not a World Cup on every year. You watch all the highlights on YouTube, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
To be fair, I do as well. Even the other day, I caught myself watching Diego Forlan's goals at the South African World Cup.
I'll be working nights every night.
Yeah, yeah. You look like a man who's preparing to be very tired. Are they not flying you out to?
That's just my life, to be honest. Yeah.
They're not flying you out to Cancun or something?
I'm in LA for a period of the tournament, but not the start.
All right, okay, fair enough. Right, Mark, good luck.
Thank you.
And Robbie, thanks.
Thanks for your time, Ross.
No, thank you for your time. And if you're an Arsenal fan or an England fan, Robbie's address is...
particularly Arsenal.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't like Arsenal. England are all
right. Well, you're a Chelsea fan, of course you can't like Arsenal.
Nah. Nor the Tottenham either.
No. Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm fine with Arsenal. Like I said, they the two cup finals that Wednesday got beaten, they had nothing to do with, did they? Anyway, right, we'll be back tomorrow to preview the derby and the Saturday card at Epsom, and watch out for the Monday night World Cup preview and the pullout as well. Good night. God bless. See you tomorrow.